Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Let's Cover It, brought to you by The Covering Church.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you once again for joining our podcast today entitled Let's Cover It. And we've covered a lot of stuff over the past several weeks, and today will be no different. We're going to try to maybe conclude our segment on Israel and its current state from a biblical perspective, but we may take it in a little bit different direction than maybe what you think. But my name is Dwayne Lee. I am your host, and then I have Chris Dunford with me here, longtime friend and Bible scholar, and I certainly appreciate when it comes to history. I love this guy because he has forgotten more than I have ever known. I didn't do well in English. I didn't do well in history. Math may be another story, but in those areas, it was a little difficult. But nonetheless, I'm so grateful for your knowledge and your willingness to be able to share that with us.
Oh, and just one clarification. We are not sponsored by Adidas. This is just
You may want to put tape over that.
Yeah, I'm wondering if we can fuzz this out like they do on all the shows on HGTV.
Well, that's why they made me change my cup, because we weren't sponsored by DeWalt either.
Right. So just for the record, we have no association with Adidas that I know of, but we'd be more than happy to take their money if they want to support covering.
But we are. Sponsored by The Covering Church.
Yes, so, we are, right.
Yeah, so I'm grateful for that. And so today, as we look at things, we have been talking about Israel. We've been talking about the state of Israel, its current affairs, things that have been going on, not necessarily all modern-day stuff. We've done our best to try to look at it biblically, tried to look at the state of Israel. We've looked at the nation within a nation of Israel, a people within a people, and how God has expanded that through the Word. And really, Chris, at the end of the day, as we have looked at this and the attack upon Israel, Judaism, and the attack upon Christianity, all of that kind of good stuff, or bad stuff, I really should say, it is really attack upon God.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It is an attack upon annihilating the Judeo-Christian, I can't even say
Judeo-Christian.
Judeo-Christian, can't even say it. Understanding and the Jehovah God that we know and that we serve from Scripture. And like you said before we got started, for Jew and for Christian, we may not necessarily agree on the Messiah, but we do understand who God is.
Yes.
And with that being said, there are others in the world who are trying to annihilate that.
Yes.
And honestly, that has been something that almost from the beginning of time has people have tried to do that. Even with Adam and Eve, Satan tried to share with Adam and Eve that, you know, did God really say that? Is God really who he says he is? All that kind of good stuff. But and yet God, even through the preservation of Scripture, has declared himself, has shown himself over and over to be faithful and true. Many times to a nation in the Old Testament who was disobedient and went into captivity on a number of occasions, but God brought them out and has sustained them through everything, through Old Testament, New Testament, and even into modern day. And I believe God will continue to do that.
Yes.
And but with that being said, you and I need to look at what is going on. And again, looking at it from a biblical perspective, looking at Israel as God's hand upon that nation, and especially from the north, all of the missiles and things like that are not arbitrary.
They're not.
They are specific in wanting to destroy biblical sites.
That's a fact.
Because they're trying to eliminate Jehovah God.
That's right.
So I want to start there. I want to start there and saying, why is that? Why is it that Hamas and those that are supporting Hamas and all the people around there, the Muslim people, trying to eliminate it. Because at the end of the day, and I'll shut up and let you talk, is they do not serve the God that we serve.
They do not.
They don't. And as a result of that, matter of fact, they, like you've said in another podcast, not only would they want to annihilate and eliminate Israel and the Jewish people, but infidels, period.
That's correct. Which is the entire West.
Which is the entire West.
Yes.
Exactly right. And yet we have people within our own United States who would side with them.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of siding with a country who is doing its best to try to support what Israel is doing.
Right.
Which baffles me, to say the least. And so when we look at that, how do we address that? How do we look at that?
I think there are a number of elements. If you look at the communist socialist playbook, one of the biggest things that they want to do is eliminate past history and rewrite history,
right,
to fit their narrative.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it in our own country.
Sure.
History is history.
It is.
You can't change facts, dates, times, events that took place.
No.
Yes. But what you can do is you can try to rewrite the 1619 projects, trying to rewrite the whole narrative of our founding. It's not true, and every historian looks at it says it's a fallacy.
Right.
But the world's trying to foist that off as being fact when it's not. And so we have this mass movement to tear down statues in our country.
Mm-hmm.
Our country has never been perfect.
No.
But we don't destroy history. We reinterpret the history so that we, in a modern culture, can understand. You cannot understand slavery without understanding the culture and the times that it took place in and how people were thinking back then.
Right.
So by simply eliminating the visual representation of that history doesn't change that
history.
Doesn't
change a thing.
That's right. Correct. And looking at it, trying to interpret it, I always tell my wife, as a historian, trying to interpret history through a modern lens is a fallacy.
Right.
You can't do it.
Can't do
because
it.
That culture didn't live in our modern culture.
Right.
And so you have to look at history through the lens of the people that lived it to understand what was going on. And so the first thing to do is you want to destroy the history, and then you want to rewrite the narrative to fit your narrative. And
it doesn't work.
It doesn't. It always leads to millions of people dying. Cultural war, civil war, falling apart of cultures and nations. You just can't do it.
And political.
Political mayhem. Is
well,
what you
yeah,
end up
there
with.
You go.
Yeah, it's just political mayhem is what you end up with.
Sure.
I mean, it's interesting because I love World War II history, especially Eastern Front history. Now, here's an illustration. I know this has nothing to do with the Bible, but it's an illustration. So during World War II, the Battle of Kursk was the largest tank battle in history.
Mm-hmm.
It was fought on Eastern Front in July 4th through the middle of July. It was an attack on a Russian bulge in the German lines around the city of Kursk. There was a northern assault, a southern assault. Okay, and so the Russians had written this whole narrative about this Battle of Prokhorovka, where these Russian tanks had come down and they got into the middle of the German tanks and they closed up so close the German tanks could shoot at them, and they destroyed thousands of German tanks, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was the Russian communist narrative for years. Well, with the fall of the Soviet Union, the real historical records came out. There never was a Battle of Prokhorovka. It never took place. It was purely made up by the Russians.
Wow.
Okay, so what did they do? They rewrote history to fit the narrative of how the first Russian guard tank army was this great. Pavlov's army was this great, you know, army that came in and wiped out the German 6th SS, the 1st SS Panzer Army, and decimated it. When in fact, you look at the tank returns, the Germans lost a half a dozen tanks or so. Nothing serious. And the Russians lost hundreds.
Right.
It was the other way around.
Right.
Okay. So that's what happens with history when you try to rewrite it. You can't change the facts. They are what they are.
That's right.
And so then, second of all, trying to interpret it in modern times, what we really need to do is interpret it in the times in which it took place. Mm-hmm. And so when you have a clash of cultures, that's the first thing to go.
Sure.
And so what we really have is a war of cultures. We are in a religious war.
We are.
And the religious war is East versus West. Mm-hmm. And it's not a reconcilable war because as Christians, we're not going to, as conservative Orthodox Christians, we're not going to fall back away from the Bible being our final authority.
Correct.
Nor is the Muslim world going to fall back away from the Quran. Right. And the Quran and the Bible they present two entirely different gods.
That is true.
And so one of the things, there are many things we can thank Israel for. We can thank them for the word of God to start with.
Sure.
The entire Bible is a Jewish book. Mm-hmm. 66 books, all of them written by Jewish men.
Right.
With the exception
of Luke.
Of Luke, who was a Gentile, correct. But beyond that, all of it was written by Jewish men and over 3,000 years of history.
Right.
Okay. And so we have the Jews to thank for that. And having been to Israel, we know that we, in the modern Israel, we have to thank them for all of their work to preserve biblical history.
All of the archaeology. Yeah.
The archaeology that's going on over there is incredible. And every time they turn over a stone, they validate the Bible.
They do.
And so if you're over in the East and you can't validate the Quran.
Right.
From a historical, cultural, archaeological perspective.
No.
But you can the Bible.
That's right.
How do we take out that problem? We take out the history. We wipe it out.
Right.
We take it away. And if we take it away, then we can write it any way that we want.
Sure.
Just as the communists did during World War II and post-communist world. I mean, pre-fall of the communist world.
Right.
So in the 80s, when the wall came down, a plethora of history came out that suddenly we were able to put all these pieces together and realize everything the Russians were writing during the World War II was a lie.
Was a lie.
Yeah.
Right.
And now we know the actual history that went on.
Right.
It's the same thing that's going on in their world. They're writing a narrative that's not true, that's not supported by the facts. And it's in a direct affront or confrontation with the West. And this has been going on since the 12th century when the Saladin brought the Muslim invasions down into the Middle East and overran parts of Europe. You know, they took over Spain until 1492. I knew that because that's when Columbus sailed. In 1491, they had thrown the Muslims out. 1492, he sailed. Okay, so in 1491, 200 years of war between Christians and Muslims went on. It was irreconcilable. This is irreconcilable. And so in a Western culture, people dancing around and holding up signs in support of Hamas, if they think, and I'm going to say Hamas because they're not supporting Palestine, they're supporting Hamas.
Right.
And in their support of Hamas, who's a terrorist group of butchers, whose God is one of destruction and murder and killing and raping, that stands counter to our God of grace and love and mercy and, you know, truth.
Completely.
And so with that going on, with their standing up and supporting that, they're on the wrong side of history.
They are. They are. So as we say that, at the end of the day, not only are they trying to eliminate biblical history and biblical archaeology, but they're trying to snuff out God himself.
Yes. Yes, for their God.
For their God.
Yes.
That's right. That's right. Because really, that's what they're, if they are identifying, like you said, with Hamas or any other sect of Muslims, then that's what they're true. That's what they're doing. They are saying that we are siding with their God and not your God.
That is correct. So the left can try to eliminate Christianity from our culture. It's actively going on in Canada and it's actively going on in England. And so this active persecution of Christianity in other countries will eventually come here in that manner. It already is.
It is. It's already here.
You can't already read every day where there's a court case going on of a Christian who's being, they're trying to force them to do something that stands counter to the word of God. And in our country, that who would have believed that in our country, we'd be fighting active court cases to defend Christianity and our right to free worship, the First Amendment to the Constitution.
Right.
Okay, so So we have this active war within, and we have this active war without. Mm-hmm. And we are in a cultural, religious war for the future of the West. And from my perspective, as Christians, if we don't recognize that, we're doomed. Mm-hmm. I mean, we literally are doomed if we, as a culture and as a people, if we don't recognize it. And the sad part is the left, who is promoting and supporting these protests, they don't understand. They think that they can come at it from a secular perspective.
Right.
All we got to do is slap each other's backs and shake hands, and we're going to be friends.
Right.
Because they don't have a faith. They don't understand the depth of believing in something well beyond yourself.
Right.
As Christians, we'd die for that. But so would the Muslim.
Sure, exactly.
And so the problem, that's right, and we're on opposite pages totally.
Completely. And the two will never meet.
They'll never meet.
No.
That's the problem. There is no reconciliation in this.
Right.
These two faiths are diametrically opposed to one another. Mm-hmm. What the radical Muslim world is preaching is entirely different from what we're preaching. And we haven't always gotten it right.
No, we haven't.
I mean, Christians in the past, there have been the Spanish Inquisition, and there have been the wiping out of the Huguenots by the French. We can go down the list of things that Christians have done in the name of Christ that have not been biblical.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's
so, correct. But we, on the other hand, we're willing to recognize that.
Right.
And to correct that.
Right.
They're not. They're going deeper into that instead of running away from it.
Right.
And so we can never reconcile those two pages. And so Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. There's no middle ground. There's no Muslim world, Western world, and secular world. Right. Secular world is either going to side with the Christian world or they're going to side with the Muslim world. And I guarantee you, those in the West who've never been in the Muslim world, who don't know what they're siding with, they don't have a clue of what they're in for.
No, they don't.
I mean, they don't know that a woman who walks outside without a male escort out in a Muslim world is ripe to be raped because she's not escorted by a male. Mm-hmm. And all these college girls out there, they don't know what they're in for. Right. They don't know that in the Muslim, here's an example. I saw a guy today. He worked on the tallest building in the world. It's in Dubai. Mm-hmm. Okay, this building is huge. It's a third taller than the next tallest building in the world in Taipei. It's huge. Okay, one of the guys on the job site had picked up something that wasn't his per se. Mm-hmm. The Muslim worker saw it. They accused him of stealing, and then and there they were going to cut his hand off.
Oh wow!
And they had to go and get some superintendents over there to stop it. And in the end, instead of cutting his hands off, they laid him on the table and they beat him until they were bleeding as a punishment for him picking up something that, you know, on a job he was going to take home. I guess technically he was stealing, but the point was that's how they deal with it.
Yeah.
Okay, so if that's the world they want to live in, that's what they're advocating. There is no middle ground. No less than Orthodox Christianity is going to embrace this cultural stuff that's coming out of our current world in our country. The Muslim world is, they're way down the road from where we are.
Sure.
And how they look at it.
Sure. Sure. So from a Christian perspective, as we look at the things of the world, understanding and having a better idea that the two shall never meet, we can't be gray. It's black or white.
That's correct.
And we have to draw a line in the sand. And we need to understand from Scripture where we stand.
So we can see it, Dwayne, just in the church itself. I don't know that I like to use that term, the church, but in Christianity today in America, in the West,
sure,
there is this move to try to culturalize Christianity to embrace what has clearly biblical ramifications that stand against what they're trying to embrace. Mm-hmm. I've seen Christians on, and I'm not on social media,
right?
But my wife is, and I've seen Christians on social media, you know, God loves gays as much as he loves straights.
Right.
Well, technically God loves the entire world, but he doesn't love sin, right? Or does he embrace sin?
Right.
And they're clearly in, you know, Leviticus 18 and 20, Romans chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, you can go down the list where the Bible condemns that type of lifestyle.
Sure.
So the church thinks, well, we're going to go down here and we're going to embrace that and incorporate it into the church. Mm-hmm. Well, the very moment you step away from a biblical worldview mm-hmm. into a secular worldview,
you've lost it.
You've lost it. That is correct. At that point, you have surrendered the ground.
Right.
And once you surrendered the ground, there's no other ground to go to.
No, there's not.
And so we have to recognize, Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the powers of the darkness of this world. Right. And so we wrestle against Satan. We wrestle against demonic forces. Mm-hmm. And I think in a larger sense, that's what's behind all of this.
Sure.
And I think that Satan has lulled the West to sleep and allowed us now to face the wrath of the East. And I don't hate Muslim people. I don't hate right. anybody.
Right.
I want everybody to come to Christ.
Sure.
And so from my perspective, this isn't a, we hate them. Although they hate us, we don't hate them.
Right.
But we stand opposed to their view of God That's in right. relation to our view of God.
Right.
And our God is a God of peace, of love. Jesus says, I leave you peace, not like the world does.
Right.
But I leave you peace that comes from the Father, you know. And so we teach peace. We teach love. We teach embracing people of all kindreds, faiths, and cultures to bring them in mm-hmm. and bring them to Christ that they can be saved. They can trust Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior. They can have a relationship with God through Christ. For us, that's our goal.
Right.
But our goal is not to fight a physical war against the East.
Right.
But it is theirs.
Right. Right. It is. So with that being said, we certainly need to study, to learn, to grow
yes.
in what Scripture says and how that we are to respond. I use the word respond instead of react. I don't like to react. I'd prefer to respond.
Yes.
In what we should do, we should be involved in everything that is that affects us, mm-hmm. regardless of whether it's local or whether it's national.
That brings up a good point.
Okay.
So in our modern world where this election seems to be a very crucial election, and I'm not going to endorse a candidate, but I will say this. One party has accused Christianity of Christian nationalism. But the funny part of it is when you ask them what Christian nationalism is, they can't define it. And they'll say, well, Christianity wants to take the United States to a biblical perspective where we stone to death adulterers and adulteresses. I've been a Christian almost my entire life.
So right.
My question to you, Duane, do you know any Christian that you've ever met who believes that they want to go down that road?
Not any.
None that I know of.
Yeah.
None. Now, do we believe that that concepts in our culture, such as marriage and concepts in our culture, such as the freedom to pray and to worship and to express God within our government and outside of our government, do we think that that is should be allowed?
Yeah.
Well, certainly.
Sure.
That's the history of our country.
Right.
I was on a job site this morning, and I walked in, and this guy said, I looked up your LinkedIn page, and I see that you are a Christian, that you have pastored a church, and that you have this degree. And he goes, I'm going to ask you a question. Can you pray for us? This job?
Mm-hmm.
He said, will you pray for us? I said, listen, when you ask me to do that, I have a habit of just doing it right then and there. I don't care where it is. I prayed in the middle of a Mike's car wash parking lot before. So you asked me to do it. Let's do it right now. We got these guys on our knees in his office, in the construction office, started praying for this construction
job site. Yeah.
Question. Did that hurt the job site at all?
Not at all.
Not a bit. I'm invoking God's blessing to keep these guys safe while they're working and make sure everything goes well. And that when they do their job, they do it right so that future generations don't get killed when they walk in the building, right?
That's right.
Did that hurt anything?
Not a thing.
Not a thing.
But
the West says that that's evil and they hate it. Our culture hates it. And I don't understand why.
Yeah.
That didn't do a thing except, and he tells me every Monday now they're having a prayer meeting in the office. And now all the iron workers are coming in for this prayer meeting. When they leave the prayer meeting after 10 minutes of invoking God's blessing, did any of them come out of there worse than what they were when they went in?
No, they didn't.
None.
None.
And so as a Christian, do I have a problem with that? Not at all. No. Is that what I want in our culture? Yes. Does it hurt our kids to be able to pray in school? Does it hurt our kids to be able to read their Bibles in school and to hear about an alternative to evolution through a creationist perspective to allow them to make up their own minds? Does that hurt anything?
Not at all.
No. But instead, they would rather teach them, you know, transgenderism and LGBTQ and all the things that stand opposed to the Bible. They want that to be legal. They want that to be allowed to be done. Mm-hmm. But they don't want a Christian to be able to choose whether or not he can make a cake for a homosexual marriage or not.
Right.
Okay, that's got to be illegal. So it's a religion, no less of a religion than what we have. They have their tenets, and they want to force their tenets on society, and yet accuse us of Christian nationalism. And I want to accuse them of pagan nationalism.
It's no different.
It's a faith just like ours, and they're doing the same thing.
They're doing the same thing. And unfortunately, probably winning.
At this point, I don't know, Dwayne.
Yeah.
I think there has been many court cases recently have gone our way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that in our country,
I guess maybe winning's not the right term, but maybe being publicized more.
I think they're louder than Christians.
They are.
So
they are.
You know, in the 1980s, when we were growing up, Jerry Falwell had the moral majority and he was very active in politics.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that divided Christians. How, maybe this is a future podcast, but how involved should Christians be in politics?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. So there's a view that says, if you look at the Amish and you look at the Mennonites, their view is we stay completely out of it. We don't even get involved in it. We're in the kingdom. We're not a part of the of America per se. We're in the kingdom. So they don't pay taxes and so on and so forth. They don't get any government assistance because they said we're not of the United States. We're of the kingdom of God.
Right.
So they don't serve in the military. They don't do anything related to nationalism as we know it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then there's the group of Christians that are the very radical. We got to be elected. We got to get involved. We got to drag the Bible into every element of politics. And you know, that may be right or wrong. I'm not going to judge that. And then there's the group in the middle that are more reactionary. They're just constantly reacting. They're not really actively involved.
Right.
Okay. So I think for too long, we have been the group that has said we want out of politics. Separation of church and state, they believe, is constitutional, even though the Supreme Court ruled on it. It's not in the Constitution, never has been.
Right.
Okay, that is a letter that Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Baptist Church in regard to, the government taxing the church.
Right.
And he said, no, there's a separation between church and state. Mm-hmm. That was never a law, and that was never in the Constitution. That was Jefferson's opinion that now has become, somehow or other, has become the law of the land. But the point is, in all of that, we have been silent for too long.
We have.
And now we're starting to see Christians stand up and say, no more. I'm not doing this anymore. And I think that as we become more and more vocal and take stronger stands, I think that we can make a difference without being violent.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, the left is always violent. Everything they do, they burn down, destroy, and wreck. Mm-hmm. And we should build up, strengthen, and encourage in the process of being vocal and standing for what we believe.
And to that I say amen. So with that being said, let me finish with this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so invest in the word of God.
Yeah.
Invest in the word of God. Invest in yourself. Understand the issues, be able to talk about the issues in a godly manner so that you can be heard. Don't step back. Don't stay back. But understand who you are and that God has placed you here for a purpose.
Yes.
And for a plan. And so in your sphere of influence, be a godly influence and understand what it means. So
And let me say this too. God's at work.
Oh, he is at work.
24/7, 365, and we have to look for it.
And we do.
I was on a job site last week and talked to this guy named Tom, and he said, I don't know if you're a Christian or not, or you know anything about the Bible? But you think we're in the end times? Now, he was the client, right?
Right.
2 hours, he asked me questions. I thought, praise the Lord, I'm getting paid by the client to witness to him about Christ, right?
Right.
Does it get any better than that?
No, not at all.
And so
it's a great thing.
Today I said to that superintendent, you're paying the bill. You want me to pray for you? I'll be glad to. He said, I'm paying the bill. When I ask you to pray for me, I want you to pray for me. I said, you got it, man. I'm all in. So, you know, the thing about it is cutting straight is the idea of right and dividing. Cutting straight the word of God.
Right.
And maybe a future podcast we should talk about eisegetical versus exegetical.
Mm-hmm.
Study of the word, how to do that,
how to cut
it straight.
Yeah.
If we're going to ask our audience to study, we need to give them the tools to do it.
Absolutely.
So they understand the difference.
Sure.
Because the whole church today is into this eisegetical approach. I read into the Bible what I want, and then I get it to say whatever I need it to say. And that's wrong. We should
Complete.
Talk about that.
We should.
Okay. So, but the point is, as you said, you and I need to learn how to cut straight the word.
That's right.
And I'm not going to always get it right because I'm a student.
That's right.
But I'm going to do my best.
I'm going to do my best.
Because I do believe, and you believe, this is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. It is.
Right.
This is it.
But I'm not going to seclude myself. I'm going to include my friend. You know, I'm not going to be siloed and say, well, this is what I believe, and this is what I'm going to do, and this, whatever you do. You and I, iron sharpens iron.
Yes.
And you and I, for years, have worked on things together and didn't always see eye to eye on everything.
I think we've spent hours on the phone going back and forth on stuff before.
several times.
Yeah.
So, and that's all we're trying to do here. So I hope we've been able to do that some.
And I think Christians need to be bold.
Sure.
So I was standing.
If I read in Acts that they were bold.
Right. I was standing in my office one day, and my boss, our department manager, comes up to me. I'm standing there in the sort of the central area where our office is, around this big central area, and everybody in the office are out there standing around the table. And he comes up to me, and he asks me a biblical question.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I know you could answer this. What about this? Okay. 45 minutes, we had a biblical discussion around all these other guys that were standing in the office. Look, I'm not ashamed of what I believe.
No.
I'm not at all. I'm going to share when they ask me, I'm not afraid to tell them what I think and what I believe from the Word of God.
That's right.
And I don't know if I've changed lives in that process. I don't know if I've made a difference.
But at least you've given them something to
think about. But I do know this, God holds me accountable.
Oh, absolutely.
And so I have to be bold in my, now not offensive and not...
No.
Not doing it for my own self.
Being dogmatic or derogatory.
Or building up myself.
Or building up yourself. But
we have to be bold. We have to be willing to state the truth as it is.
Scripture says make sure that you're able to give an account.
I was thinking of that.
Yeah.
We need to be able to get an account of an answer to every man.
That's right.
And so you, audience... You, Dwayne, me, Chris, we are required to study diligently to be able to do that.
We are.
We're hoping we're giving you the tools to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll continue to do that. So.
And by the way, we love you.
We do.
That's why we're doing this. Absolutely. It's just in for us.
No. Good grief. My wife says, when you coming home? So, But anyway, listen, thank you so much. We appreciate your time. And I hope that we have been an encouragement and a blessing to you today. If you have any questions, you can certainly reach out to us at info@thecovering.tv. And all of those things will be either on the bottom of the screen or something like that. I leave that up to the tech people. But with that said, Chris, thank you once again.
I'm not sure that I even know how to get to our podcast, to tell you the truth. So I'm hoping we can.
Well, you know, if you download the app, it automatically lets you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I do have the app. I just don't even know how to run it.
There you go.
A guy that spends all his day in front of half of his day in front of a computer all the time, I still am technically challenged, I think.
There you go. Well, listen, thank you so much. God bless you. And until we meet again, may you be safe. May you be encouraged. May you be strengthened. Until then, God bless.
Thanks again for joining us. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Let's Cover It podcast, brought to you by The Covering Church.